So, sorry again for the lateness. This is the disadvantage of me having a 20-minute commute or 25-minute commute. You can move. You can still move. It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, the bottom line is last time we started going over the Gemara, let's just do a quick chazara. We'll actually go a little bit further this time. We'll try to get down. We are holding on Beis Amud Beis. Let me just open up over here. We're holding on Beis Amud Beis. How many lines down did we say? About 10 lines down. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines down. Okay? Itmar HaMenakesh B'Amashka Mayim L'Zerayim B'Shabbos. So Itmar was said, HaMenakesh, do we have the following Mimra? HaMenakesh B'Amashka Mayim L'Zerayim B'Shabbos. Last time we discussed exactly what Menakesh and Mashka Mayim L'Zerayim are. But Menakesh usually weeding. Mashka Mayim L'Zerayim seems to be watering seeds. B'Shabbos on Shabbos. Mishumayim Masrinan Bey. For what reason do we, because of what, not for what reason, but for which malacha, really, do we warn this person? I'm just seeing here, I didn't use this. He has, last time I talked about Shabbos versus Yontif a little bit, I see he has it over here in the Gospel Sion. I don't normally use the Oz V'Hadar Gemara, so having the opportunity to use one today, my eyes are wandering a little bit. What do we warn him for? Rabba Amar, Rabba says, Mishum Choresh. You warn him for Choresh. Rav Yosef Amar, Mishum Zoreya. Rav Yosef says, it's because of Zoreya. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Kavasei didi mistabra. Like me makes more sense. Ma darko shel choresh. Just as the manner of choresh is. Lirapuye ara, to soften the land. Hainami, these two as well. Mirapuye ara, are softening the land. Amar of Yosef, Rav Yosef, the Bar Plukta of Rabba, responds and he says, no. Kavasei didi mistabra. My opinion makes more sense. Ma darko shel zoreya litzimuche pera, just as it's the manner of zoreya to sprout fruits and to cause fruit to grow, or anything else, not literally fruit, but anyway, some sort of plant to grow. Hachanami here too, mitzamach pera, it's causing the plant to grow. Okay, this is where what Gemara we covered. Last time we covered pseudo-Rashi, fake Rashi. We covered a bunch of Tosfasin, and we're going to get back into the Tosfasin today in due time. I'm just going to read on a little bit in the Gemara because I see I have the opportunity. No one's interrupted me yet, so I'm going to push my luck here and see if we can get through to the very next part of the Gemara. Very interesting kasha of Abaye. Amar le Abaye. Abaye said to Rabba. Abaye said to Rabba, Lididach kasha ula Rav Yosef kasha. I have a kasha on you, and I have a kasha on Rav Yosef. Okay, seems to be saying I have one kasha on him and one kasha on him. Let's see what it is. Okay. I was about 10 minutes late from when I usually arrive, which is 2 minutes early. So we started about 2 minutes ago. We're just reading the Gemara now, okay? So I apologize for being misleading in my email. It's Avera Gorer Savera. Okay. Yeah. Next time we're going to see what's happened if I write, I showed up 15 minutes early. We'll see what happens.
It just started.
Okay, says the, again, continues the Gemara, okay? This is the new...
No, I know. You said to the email.
Yeah. We're at 3 minutes in the recording.
Well, if you get a cup, I want to have the rest of this can.
Oh, okay, important things. Diet Coke. Okay, anyways, continues the Gemara. Amalei Abaye L'Rabba, Abaye said to Rabba, L'didach kasha L'Rav Yosef kasha. For you, there's a kasha L'Rav Yosef. I have a kasha on him, too. L'didach kasha. Here's my question on you. Very original question. Mishum choresh in, mishum zorei alo. He says to him, One second, what's going on here? According to you, why is it that you only would say to warn him because of Choresh and not because of Zoreya? Why do you warn him because of Zoreya? Elo Rav Yosef kasha, and what's my kasha on Rav Yosef? Mishum Zoreya in, mishum Choresh lo. Rav Yosef, why are you warning him for Zoreya? Why not warn him for Choresh? Okay, meaning, he's not necessarily asking a question. We'll see, Tosfos will be a big balagan over here. To see exactly what the questions are over here from the next part. But ultimately, currently as we understand the question is not against what they are saying. It's a question of why didn't you say more? And essentially what Abaye is saying is teach them on a most basic pshat level is?
It's Rashi.
What?
Rashi says say both.
Yeah. And the Gemara is going to be very clear about that. The only reason, again, I'm a little bit hesitant because there are other ways to explain this. But ultimately, okay, the most pshat, simple reading of Abaye is say both. And if your response would be, If you're going to tell me that anywhere where we have two, you're only mechayev for one, v'ha'amar Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana said, in the case of zomer, where you are pruning, okay, so basically, why do people prune trees? To allow for growth, right? Pruning is for the sake of the tree. Yet, v'tzarech le'etzim, if you also need the wood, chayev shtayim, you're liable for both. Achas mishum noteya, one for planting, meaning the zmira, the actual pruning, caused the tree to grow extra. The achas mishum kotzer, and one is for kotzer. Okay, so if you're going to tell me you don't get for both, not true. We see in this case, omer v'tzarech le'etzim, you do, you are chayev for both. And says the Gemara, kasha. Okay, this remains as a question. This Gemara will actually focus on next time. I just wanted to get it out because it is a few relevant pieces to what we're going to talk about today and to what we spoke about last time. The part that's, yeah.
If we're talking about Shabbat.
Yes.
And this is something that you're chayav mita. You cannot be chayav mita twice.
Okay. Why are you assuming chayav means chayav misa?
So I'm just,
shogeg.
What is it?
Chayav tu chatos. Presumably at this point. Okay, that's I would say the simplest reading, and everyone says this is talking about Shabbos, right? Even Rashi, who we acknowledged last time, said the first case was focused on Yontif, again, pseudo-Rashi, acknowledges that this case is talking about Shabbos, and the Chayev presumably means two chataos, meaning if I, not knowing that it's Shabbos, go ahead and do Zomer V'tzarech Le'etzim, I'm Chayev to bring two chataos, one for my Netiyah and one for my Ketzirah, okay? One of the relevant points that I didn't follow up with everybody that I just thought I'd mention first in this year is we were very bothered last week, the issur of climbing on a tree. So we went to go look it up together. While it does seem that there is perhaps, not 100%, there is an opinion amongst the Rishonim in Tosfos, it seems, that actually the concern is that you will break off a tree when you are climbing. So the halacha is you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. Okay? The Gemara says, why? Okay? And the Gemara says, you might break off something. You might break off a branch. Question is, what does that mean? I had always understood it mistakenly until last week as, well, you know, the person is heavy. They're going to put their weight on the branch might snap. The problem is, as we noted last week, and as it's very, very abundantly clear from this case, if you do not want or need what you are picking, there is no chiyuv, there is no deoraisa of kotzer. Okay? There is no chiyuv deoraisa of kotzer if you don't want what you are picking.
What kind of a sraw?
No hasra, shogeg. Shogeg. Chayev tu chatos. No hasra.
How do you know it's shogeg?
Because you're chayev for both. You can't be chayev misa twice. Yeah. Now, getting back to that, though, okay. We learned, we saw it in Tosfos, we saw it in Rashi, that no one even has a hava mina this would be kotzer. Why? Because you don't want or need what you are picking.
How is shogeg? Shogeg
doesn't mean davar she'eno miskaven. Shogeg and davar she'eno miskaven are very different. So the way Rabbi Shurkin used to explain it was as follows. Shogeg is when you don't know something. You're lacking information about the circumstance. For example, you think today is Tuesday. I say, oh, I need some firewood and I got to prune my tree. Kill two birds with one stone. I think it's Tuesday. It's really Shabbos. That's shogeg. Davar she'eno miskaven is something totally different. Davar she'eno miskaven is, I intend to do the action, but I don't intend for the outcome, but I know all the information that it's Shabbos, that this is this outcome potentially is Aser, etc., etc. Okay? The third thing, mit'asek, is where I don't intend even to do the action, or at least to do the action on that object that's in front of me. Okay? There's potentially a second type of mit'asek, depends on which Rishonim you're passing like, but again, shogeg is when I don't know information. Either I don't know that this is what we call Shigas Shabbos or Shigas Malacha, right? Those are the two. Either I don't know this is Shabbos or I don't know that this particular thing is prohibited on Shabbos. For example, I did not learn my Hilchos Shabbos properly and I thought that it was totally okay to plant things on Shabbos. I just didn't know. Okay? I thought on Shabbos, yeah, I should go out and do the gardening. It's a great Shabbos activity. That is one type of shogeg. The other type of shogeg is that I don't know it's Shabbos. So Rav Kahana's case is, I think it's I could not make this up. This is actually fantastic timing. I was on Facebook today. I mean, I'm on Facebook most days. But I was on Facebook, and I was scrolling, and I got added to these Jewish groups. And the Jewish groups usually don't contribute much to my particular quality of life. Usually it's lots of negativity. Sometimes also nice positive things that I can get chizuk from. But anyway, someone wrote and sent a picture that tonight, Thursday night, They forgot, they thought it was Friday today. They lit Shabbos candles, made a bracha, and then they realized, oh, it's Thursday. So mamish exactly what we're talking about. You were all confused. You had a really tough week, and it was Shabbos. You totally thought it was Sunday. I'm sure everyone can relate to the fact that if sometime woken up in the morning, turned off your alarm clock or something, that might be something different. But if you think it's a different day, if you think it's a different day, that's shogeg. Okay, that's the case Rav Kahana is talking about. Again.
What's the, sorry, I don't want to belabor this, but what's the chiyuv if there's no hazara, but you know exactly what you're doing?
Chiyuv chatas.
Chatas,
a korban. When you
chatas.
Yes, it's a korban chatas. We're talking about being chayav two chataos here. Meaning when you do something that would have certain punishments, and you do them accidentally, meaning b'shogeg, not darshan miskavin, b'shogeg, then you're chayav a chatas, upon, obviously, figuring that out at some point.
Sorry, just the b'shogeg? But there's no shogeg here. You know exactly what you were doing, except there was no
b'shogeg. Again, shogeg is a lack of information about Shabbos.
But he says it's not, so let's say
carbon?
He knew what he was doing, but there was no
hasra. What is the carbon if he knew exactly what you were doing? And there's just no hasra.
So what's the deen in general? Amazing with no hasra.
Mazed with Nasra? Usually we say that you get whatever punishment is coming to you, but from God. We can't prosecute you in court.
The base thing.
Correct. Okay, so it's Bezdin Shamala, Kares, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it, that's the general. Well, with anything. With anything you could do tshuva. Tshuva. Yes or no. I mean, I'm not going to get into the details of doing tshuva once you've already been prosecuted in court, and Gmar Din, before Gmar Din, after Gmar Din. Does Beis Din take this into account? That's not a Beis Din thing, tshuva. But you can always do tshuva. In terms of being forgiven, might not necessarily change the outcome. I don't believe if you... Right. I think even by a shogeg, doing tshuva doesn't exempt you from a korban, right? At the end of the day, if there's a specific halachic outcome, the tshuva is about mending... And again, this also is a long discussion, but it's about mending your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But part of that is also going through the process of whatever else is involved, which may involve korbanos, may involve, again, other sorts of kapara, yisurin, tshuva, yom kippur, read the Mishnayos and Yoma
would
to figure that out.
Would be the same thing if someone did something b'mezid and there was hasra, but there was no edim, or only one aid.
Correct, yeah, based all of those cases.
Limited.
Yep, so we can't take them to court, yes.
I was going to just ask briefly, I have difficulty seeing the parallel between Zoymer and using firewood in the case of Menachish and Mashka, because by Menachish and Mashka, it's related to the same, you're directing actions towards the same object, the seeds. You want the seeds to grow. You're breaking up the earth. But by the other case, you want the tree to grow through the pruning, and you're using the wood for a separate purpose. They're not related directly to the same object.
So it... I think the...
I don't see it as a direct...
So that's a good point. Ultimately, I'm going to save that discussion, if we can, for the coming weeks, where the poskim discuss... First of all, not everyone had this word kasha in their gemaras. Okay? You can see it, actually, in different Rishonim here, that the word kasha was not for everybody. You can see the last line of Tosus. See the last line of Tosus on the page? Second word on the line? Okay? V'kasha lo garsinan. We don't even say, we don't even have the girsa of Vikasha. Tosa says, one reason, Kevan Delav Tanahu, Rav Kahana was just an Amora. So it's a very bizarre thing. The Gemara is even asking for one Amora and another Amora, like, how dare you disagree with Rav Kahana? So many Rishonim do explain along those lines and starting to make those type of chilukim as to how Rav and Rav Yosef might disagree with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana holds it has to do with, let's say, one action, not necessarily the object. They maybe will hold it has to do with the object. So that could be one potential reason as to why they would argue, if they would argue. But I'll save that for the shiur on that topic, which is forthcoming. Where I did want to go with this, now that we've figured out Zomer V'Tzarach Le'etzim on a basic level. Basic level is, we're talking about a shogeg, okay? Someone who thought it was Sunday, they went and did this on Shabbos. Then, after that, okay, they are chayev to bring two korbanos. Abaye is marshaling the statement of Rav Kahana in support of the fact of his question on both Rabbah and Rav Yosef, which is, why not both? Really, he's asking one question on both of them. You say this one, why not the other one too? You say this one, why not the other one too? Now, the reason why this is relevant, just to follow up on last week, we just started with this, but, okay, Zomer V'Tzarach Le'etzim proves to us, as does the comment earlier of Rashi, okay, that kotzer is not even a hava amina in this Gemara, because kotzer is only relevant where you want the object that you are harvesting. Otherwise, it's not a deoraisa. It's not aser midoraisa. It's not a chiyuv deoraisa unless you want what you're harvesting. It may even be lighter than that. Now, The question that arose is, what about climbing a tree? Okay? What about climbing a tree? Why is it a prohibition? The Gemara says, because you might pick. Okay? Or you might break a branch. What does that mean? So, most Rishonim, what I found to be the majority of opinions say, it's very straightforward. It means we are worried that you will pick a fruit, you will take off a branch that you want to use. That is the gzeira here. A limited number of Rishonim, which requires further iyun, perhaps Tosfos, there seems to be a much more from a Gemara and Erevin, that this is indeed the case. They say, in a Hanami, it is actually talking about that we are concerned that the branch that you are climbing on, a branch that you are climbing on, will break off, and that is a very public sort of violation, even though it's obviously not an Isra Doraisa, according to anybody. Nevertheless, there's still a Xera in that case. I don't know, again, the mechanism of Ein Gozen Xera Xera, Kula Chara Xera. I don't know exactly what the mechanism used is. I didn't look into it, but there is that opinion. But ultimately, as I insisted last time, there is a significant opinion that says that it actually can lead to an Isra Doraisa there, and that is that we're concerned the person will break off some part of the tree for their own use, or alternatively, someone else who sees you climbing in the tree will think, oh, I can go pick my apples this Shabbos. Which again is an Isser Del Raisa, and that's why you could have a Xera of not going up to a tree, even if you yourself will not break any branches. Now, getting back to the main point of the Sukkah. Last week, and we'll start with the source sheet here, I gave out whatever copies that I was able to actually produce. But if you have it on, if you want to share, or if you have it printed out yourself, or if you have a phone or something.
Is there a Gezera not to go close to any fruit that you could pick off, even if you don't have to climb up? Like low-hanging fruit on a tree or a bush.
So not to go near, but certain actions.
You might pick it off, so don't go closer. Just like don't climb up.
No. The question is, what's a reasonable gzera? Both in terms of, I was just looking into this for, what topic was I looking into? I decided, you know, I'm on vacation, I can learn some fun things. So I'm going to look into the issue of ice skating on Shabbos. It's a question that I've been asked a few times. As a non-posek, it's a very fun question. One of the discussions relates to melting ice. Because of the combination of pressure and friction, on the ice surface, under the skate blade, a little bit of ice melts, and that actually allows for people to skate. I never looked into the mechanics of skating, but from a physics perspective, they used to think it was the pressure, and the pressure caused a phase change due to, basically, the molecules being pushed a little bit. Now they've decided that it's more the friction. But ultimately, to skate on really, really, really solid ice would be hard. The fact that there's a little bit of friction there as the blade slides across that little bit of ice, it actually melts a few layers of ice into water, and that actually enables you to skate. So it means that you, effectively speaking, you can make the argument, I'm not saying this is 100%, but you can make the argument that you want the ice to melt. So the question is, what's the halachos relating to ice melting? So there's a very interesting Shulchan Aruch. There's a piece in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to walk on snow on Shabbos. So you would say, okay, that's pretty analogous to ice skating, no? So first of all, again, there's the Darshan Viskavin part there. But more importantly, one of the, in the Mishneh Berurah there, let's see if I can open it up. Mishneh Berurah says there's two reasons. There's the Taz versus the Gra. The Taz says it's impossible to avoid. So the Rabbanan wouldn't be goes or something that's impossible to avoid. I think to answer your question about walking near a fruit tree, I think it might be impossible to avoid, or obviously not literally impossible to avoid, but very close and very, very tough to tell people you can't walk near anything growing, because it wouldn't just be fruit. Then it'd be any vegetation, because you're not allowed to pick any vegetation. So such a thing would be something that either you want to call it Xerashani Tziburi Cholalamudba, or whether you want to call it again that you can't do it, would be one concern. But the second thing is, again, is how likely. There is a question about smelling things on Shabbos. You're allowed to smell something that's attached to the ground. Right? It's a plant which is attached to the ground, which people normally pick if you smell it. So you're not allowed to smell it on Shabbos, because you might come to pick it. It's sort of actual Xera. So we do have certain Xeros that are similar, but not walking by fruits. That one I've never seen. Okay. Let's get on to this. So, last time we went over, and now I can actually open up the source sheet. Last time we went over a couple of different svaras as to what exactly is going on here, and I thought we'd see them inside. Okay? Tosfos themselves, let's start with Tosfos actually, is the first point on the sheet. Ayin Tosfos. Okay. Let's read. Says Tosfos. Kamarapuye ara. Okay? Everyone see Tosfos kamarapuye ara? It's like between a third and halfway down the amud. Okay? Inside on the amud. Kamarapuye ara. Why? Dibasar ikar. Hamelacha azlinan. We go after the main melacha, vidom melachoresh, which is similar to choresh. What he means to say is that it goes after the maisa. Okay, this is how we explained it last time. It goes after the maisa hamalacha. What is the maisa that you are doing now? Right now, what have you physically done? You have physically softened the ground. Physically softening the ground, says Rabbah, is choresh. V'Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef, afagav de ikr malacha, even though the main malacha, dom mila choresh, is in fact similar to choresh, machsheves hanefesh, the thought of the soul, lav lirapuye ara, is not to soften the ground. Rather, what's the thought? Is to enable growth. Says Tosfos, v'hachi pligi. This is their argument. Rabba savar labasar ha-maisa midaminan la v'lo achar machshava. V'Rav Yosef savar basar machshava azlinan de'avya ikar v'lo azlinan basar hadimyon, which is the maisa. Rav Yosef says it's all about the kavana. The kavana is on the future. Okay? Whereas Rabba says, no, you go after the maisa, the current. Okay? I thought I would just read you a couple of sources that relate to this, two of the three we went over last time. I just saw it. Anytime you see a Rav Kook, you always like to quote it in Halacha, because it's weird to see a Rav Kook in Halacha. For some things, everyone quotes, there's a few famous Rav Kooks in his Tshuvas that he has in Halacha, but Halachic positions of Rav Kook, but there's the democracy, having the status of a Melech discussion, that I know that I've quoted before, that I've seen other people quoting recently. I think Rav Ziering actually may have quoted recently in Toronto Torah. But he has a Yesh Lomer, the Azli Beplugta, the Rabba, Rav Yosef, Ereish Mod Katan. He's having a totally different discussion. But he says they're following the same machlokas of Rabba and Rav Yosef at the beginning of Mod Katan. Source number base, Aruch Mishpat. Okay, Minakhe Shumash Kamal Mizranim, Shumai Masrinan, Bei Rabba, Amrushum Choresh. Rabba says, because Choresh, Dimadar, Koshosh, Larapur Yair, Ara, Hainami Marapi Ara. Close to Gemara, Rav Yosef, Amrushum Zerayama, Darkosh, Zerayal, Simuche, Peri, Hainami, Mitzameach, Peri. That's just the Gemara. So all we've read is the Gemara says, the Aruch Mishpat. Dimivur de pligi ias linon bidimion melachos bitoar ech shehapula naaseis bishvila. Okay? And he uses all these fancy Rav Kook words, which is why I love it. But again, he says listen to this. Bidimion toar ech shehapula naaseis bishvila, dahainu rapuye ara, which is what is the goal, right? How are actions done to reach this outcome? Namely, how is the actual physical action done now? Dainu ripoyara benidon didan. Oh, das lina basar hatachlis shamalacha nasa bishvila. Okay, again, peula versus tachlis. Dainu zemuche peri kvar takvu bezeh mefarshim varei mevor begiv divrei gemara atzma. He says you don't even need tosfos for this. This is clear from the gemara. It's this machlokas. Now the ritva phrased it a little bit differently. People had trouble understanding the ritva. I said I'll bring the ritva this time. So here's the ritva as promised. Itmar Hamanakesh v'chulei, Amar Rabba, Kavaseti Divinstabra v'chulei, Perush. To explain, Mar Azil Basar Hashta, Umar Azil Basar Besof. That's all he says. Okay, I don't think that helps us anymore. We had the discussion last time whether this is identical to Tosfos or a slight nuance in terms of differentiating. Meaning, what would they say in a case where your intention was for now and the Maisa is, I don't really know how you could have the Maisa Chal later, but what would you say in the case where your intention is now, but there is a later effect, which we may get to discussing in due time. That would be another case, and it actually has to do with, again, according to some, the case of, and Tosfos is going to discuss this, the case that Abaye brought, where Yochai Yishtayim is Zomer B'Tzarech Le'etzim. Okay, what exactly is the Kavana there? What exactly is the Maisa there? And can we line it up with these Shitos? But that's the Ritva for you. I won't read the rest because we're running very, very late here. Finally, this Fas Emes. I think said something that makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. Didn't see so many Rishonim say it. So here's how he says it. Amar le Abaye, ledidach kasha, l'Rav Yosef kasha, resource number dalet in the Sfas Emes. Tehule. Nira leva'ir hasugya. Nira leva'ir hasugya. Seems to me to be, to explain the sugya. De Rabba v'Rav Yosef pligi, that Rabba and Rav Yosef are arguing, and this is groundbreaking because no one says this. Ma ha'ikr yoser be'elu ha'beiz. Menakesh u'mashke. What is the main one among these two actions of Menakesh and Mashke? Meaning, don't turn this into a kol ha-Torah kulo machlokas. He is a machshava guy, and he is a maisa guy, right? You're turning it into a whole brisker chakira for nothing. He says, no, they're arguing very locally. Their argument is what the Gemara says. Menakesh and Mashke ma'al Mizraim. What is it there? Rabba Savar tibarape are ikar uvatal to'elas atzmicha letikon ha'adama. He just says, it's more significant that you're repairing and improving the earth then it is significant that you are causing something to grow. Verb Yosef Sarah did smicha ikur uvasar toeles haripui. No, the toeles of the ground becoming soft is insignificant compared to the growth that's going to occur. He says, make it a local machlokas. V'abaye maksha atarvayu. And Abaye is therefore asking on both of them, saying at the end of the day, though, right? At the end of the day, though, okay, you can be chayav for both. If you're going to say wrong, no, you're wrong. He's saying Abaye's question is on both of them that you should just be chayav. Both, why? They're just arguing here, and he's saying, why is this different than literally any other case? I mean, to him, the kash of Abaye is very different. Okay, Tosfos, and again, this will be hopefully next year. Tosfos, the Ritva, and many others have to explain what is Abaye's kasha precisely. Okay, and why is Zomer Tzarech Le'etzim relevant? Why is it the same? For the Sfasemes, everything is smooth sailing. They're having a specific localized machlokes about Menakesh and Mashke Mayim Lizraim. And Abaye is saying, hello, what happened to Kol HaTorah Kula? We always have this everywhere else, and we say it can be Chayev too. Like, well, what are you making a big deal here? Why do you feel here like you have to choose just one of them? Okay, and anyways, that is a Sfasemes.
And that was still more where Rabba gives one possible malachi you're doing, and Rabbi Yosef says another.
Mm-hmm.
Were they talking to each other?
Or Rabba and Rabbi Yosef,
separate
yes.
Places and they just gave their explanation of this Itmar?
No, it seems that they were talking to each other because of this Kavasei di Mistabra. That sounds like a conversational piece, and we know there were
real bar plokas. Maybe that's the editor of the Gemara saying that.
No, because it says, Amar so-and-so, Amar so-and-so. It could be they said to themselves, Kavasei di Mistabra, but that implies the existence of them, that implies the knowledge of an other Shita.
Because if they weren't talking to each other, they're just giving a possibility of what the Malacha could be, and that's it. Maybe they're both.
Yes, but again, I wouldn't, if I said a Malacha and I didn't know of anyone who disagreed, I wouldn't say, my opinion makes more sense. Right?
But you could say, what I said is logical.
Yeah, but
not just saying it for no reason. There's a logic.
Yeah, I think the language of Kavasei
Di. I have a logic too.
I think the language of Kavasei Di Mizdabra, also the fact that Rav and Rav Yosef knew each other very well. They were bar pluktas all over Shas. It's highly, highly unlikely we're dealing with a case where, right, Mara Machado, Mara Machavar Lo Pligi, that the Gemara doesn't even mention that as a possibility. I think that's...
So Rabbi says it could be... There's a case where one action can have two malachas.
Correct. And he
so it
and
seems
he says,
like this case is one action where they each see a different malacha and they refuse
yes.
to say it's both.
Correct. Both that's a biased question. Both refuse to say it's the others. And the question is why? For what? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand this. Mm-hmm. With the idea of Tzarech Le'etzim that we've done after, it means there has to be a kavana for the action being done. There has to be a need.
There has to be a need for the material.
For kotzer.
For kotzer. Only kotzer.
If I'm pouring water on the ground, and it's
that's not kotzer.
And I'm not talking about kotzer.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm pouring water on the ground, and I'm not planting anything,
yeah.
I have no intent,
yeah.
Am I still over chloreich just for putting water on the ground?
You're intending to soften the ground, or no?
I'm
asking, what are you doing? Your mind's blank, so we call that a davar she'eino miskaven, and it depends on whether or not it's a psik reshe.
Okay, so
it is a psik reshe here, and it's presumably a psik reshe which you benefit from. Now you have beautiful, soft, plowed ground.
Right.
Where the Gemara says you don't necessarily have is dekavid ba'ara dechavre. The Gemara in Shabbos, that says when you're not benefiting. But presumably here we're talking about someone is in their garden, and they're pouring water on their soil. They are benefiting from it, so it's going to be according to the Pindah Darshan and Miskavein, is mutter, not here, because of Psik Reshe, the Nichale.
Okay, I'm just trying to differentiate between the two, being for planting or for being for Koresh, based on the Kavana. So in other words, the concept that we had beforehand, where Rashi was saying the Kavana was important.
Rashi was saying that only, there's a local idea within Kotzer. Kotzer has to have use for the object, otherwise it's not kotzer. That's what Rashi said. If you don't have any use for the object, then it's not kotzer midoraisa.
I was taught, if you're planting it, if you're doing the watering or the weeding for the purpose of the seed, that's your intent. And okay. You're saying, even if that was your intent and you soften the soil, you're still chayav.
Because it's davar she'eino miskaven with a psik reisha, denichale. Yes.
So going back to Aleph Beis again, you need both the plowing and the watering for the growth of the plant.
Yes.
Forget that the water is softening ground or whatever. You need
yes.
the plowing for the plant. I was talking to somebody with a little
yes.
botany background.
Yes.
And that softening of the ground allows for root growth
yes.
and oxygenate,
yes.
oxygen, whatever the word is.
That may in fact
gases,
be...
Yep. And, you know, pockets to hold water.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you need the water. So you need both for the growth of the
plant. Of course you need both. You also need all sidura depas
so
in order to make
what
bread.
Machshava in the end. One is for the purpose of the growth of the plant, and the other one is just softening.
It's a question of semantics. Some people say, and this is not some, maybe universal, Choresh definitely has a role in the growth of the plant.
Right.
There's no denying that.
It's, no difference
it's just a matter of what we're calling Choresh and what we're calling Zoraya.
But there's no difference between watering. The water doesn't cause the plant to grow directly. There's other processes.
Correct.
So
correct.
They're both
part of the plant's growth.
Right.
They're called different names depending on how you do it. When you do it by directly encouraging growth,
no.
that's called Zoraya. When you do it by in some way preparing the land surrounding, even though that will
yeah.
okay, obviously improve the growth or get it... For the Gemara, it seems to be more of preparing the land to have something planted in it,
oh,
maybe Choresh.
Okay.
There's a little bit, but bottom line is definitely Choresh has to do with growth. And that doesn't make it automatically Zoraya. Okay, so those
the
are...
The assumption of the Gemara is that the watering is more directly involved in causing its growth eventually. Whereas,
correct.
Whereas plowing is just softening.
Meaning, and back to some of the things we talked about before, where is the water aimed? The water's aimed at the plant. We're looking for the plant to take in this water, not for the ground to get softened, potentially. Now, just to go back to the previous point about Darshan Miskavin, I don't know whether Rav Yosef and Rabba might actually say, no, maybe you're not chayav for one. The reason for this is, and this is where I wanted to get today, I see we're going to get to very little of it, but one of the things I talked about last time is, the Gemara's question is, Mishum Mai Masrinan. What
do
we warn you
about?
With
malachas. There's maybe separate rules for Hasran.
Thank
this
you.
Is what
this is what I said last week. This is what I said last week. We need to look into the Dinei Hasra'a in order to properly understand what exactly is going on in this machlokas. Because otherwise we lose sight and we make it all about the malachas. Now, how do I know this is the case? Very simple. I want you to jump down for a second to source number Vav. Okay? This is a quote from Gemara Shabbos. I believe it's in Habone. Just remember this Gemara offhand. Look at how the Gemara asks the question. Vamisates. Okay, we're not going to get into what Misates is, but says the Gemara, Misates Mishumai Mechayev. What's the difference between that and our Gemara?
Masrinan,
right? There's no Masrinan there. We do see the Gemara ask, why are you Chayev if you do an action without asking about the Hasra? Okay, that I think is particularly my point here. It's not just a question. In this Gemara, to just call it a question of what are you Chayev for when you do this Malacha is unfair to the language of the Gemara. The language of the Gemara is Mishumai Masrinan. Or we should my Masrin Bay or Masrinan Bay, okay? And we can't take that away from understanding the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yosef, okay? And I mentioned last time, in terms of effectiveness of a Hasra, and that's really what I'd like to explore, is the Dinei Hasra'a over here. Let's take a look at the Gemara, which is the source for Hasra'a, okay? We'll take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's in source number Hey on the source sheet, source number 5. It's not a terribly long Gemara. It's full of psukim. But we'll get certain ideas from the psukim. Okay? Amar Ula. Minayin lahasra min haTorah. How do we know that you have to warn people? Min haTorah. Shenemar. Because it says in the pasuk, Vishah sheyikach ezachoso basaviv ovasimo v'ra'a eser vasa. Atu b'ri'ya talya milsa. It says, there's a very strange pasuk. It's part of the arayos, smack in the middle of the arayos. It says, Vishah sheyikach ezachoso basaviv ovasimo. And the language it uses, v'ra'a eser vasa. Okay? Normally it uses gili erva, okay? Which is not all that different. And there's a very fascinating, I like throwing these things out. I feel the nature of this year has changed. I go a lot more off script than I used to. I used to be very tied to the source sheet. But there's a very fascinating theory, certain early sources, certain late sources, in the Avera of Ham and Canaan. Because what happened? Noach was uncovered and they saw his erva. What exactly that might mean, the implications of such might not be fitting for a recording that's going up on YU Torah. Anyways, that's a fascinating idea. Okay. Anyways, continues the Gemara. Again, Atu Bariya Talya Mesa. What does it have to do with Vira'ayas Ervasa? And he saw her Erva. Ela ad she yar'uhu ta'amo shel davar. They have to show him the reason of it. Okay? They have to show him the reason, meaning they have to explain to him in advance, don't do this, this is a bad thing. That's the drash of the Gemara, and im eino inin lekares, and which it is an inin of kares there, so obviously this is not relevant to kares, right? Because kares even below hasara. You don't have to have hasara for kares. Kares is administered by the one upstairs. So im eino inin lekares, tenei inin lemalkus. Therefore he says, put it to Malkus. To vechizki atanan, I forgot to take out the letters that are in front of the Torah or over here. So it says, vechiyazidish al re'ehu lehargove arma. What does it mean, vechiyazidish al re'ehu? When a person is mazid, what does it mean? Shehisrubo ve'adainu mazid. They warned him, don't do it, and he's still doing it. Now, what is the difference between shogeg and mazid? What we talked about earlier, what's a shogeg? A shogeg is someone who is lacking information. Okay? Whatever the case was here, the person didn't know you're not allowed to kill this person under these circumstances. The person didn't know whatever it was. Again, lacking information. What does bemezid accomplish? The person is aware of all information going in. Does this mean it was his kavana and not kavana? Not necessarily. It might mean yes, it might mean no. But ultimately, difference between shogeg and mezid, and this is a famous line, right? That hasra'a, right? Lo nitna hasra'a ela lahavchin bin shogeg lemezid. We just want to make sure he had all the pieces of information. Can we guarantee his kavana? Absolutely not. Can we know that he had the required information going in? Absolutely. That's the job of the Hasra. It comes from this Gemara over here. The first one, Yar'uhu Ta'amo Shel Davar, seems to be you need to explain to him why it's wrong. Okay, so we've got two sources, right? Each one has a little bit of a different nuance in Hasra. The first one is more, you got to explain it to the guy. Why what he's doing? Yar'uhu Ta'amo Shel Davar. Okay? I would say that's a lot more specific. Okay? V'chiyazid ish just means you have to make sure he's not a shogeg. Make sure the person's not a shogeg. Let's continue. Deverish maltana. Okay? Beids. Again, that's a beis there. Hamotiim otzom mikoshesh ishtim. They found him gathering wood. Meaning they found him and then he was still gathering. Shehistrubo v'adayinu mikoshesh. They warned him and he's still going around gathering the wood. Deverebi tana. Gimel. Al divar asher ina. Al divar asher ina eseshis re'ehu. Okay? Al divar means al iske dibor, meaning they had already come to him saying something, don't do this. Okay? And again, that's also the case of a death sentence. Utsricha, it says, Gemara, you need these. Dikad Rahmana Achos, so if it had just said the case of Achos, so hava mina chayavim alkas and chayavim isoslo. Kasab Rahmana kiyazid, and therefore the Torah adds in the second source of kiyazid to teach you even by misa we require hasra, not just by malkas. And we continue. Vikas of Rahmana kiyazid, hava mina hanimili desayif to kill. If you would have just said by chiyazidish al-re'ehu lehargov arma, that's where you get killed by sayif. Aval skila, which is the mikoshesh. Okay, aval skila de chamura imalo tzricha. Vitarti bin iskal en lamali. So why do we have another one? Al devar asher inas ishis re'ehu. Vitarti bin iskal en lamali. Rabbi Shimon lasuye nisrafin l'rabbanan milsadasim kal v'chomer. Taraf v'gaz v'lakra. Whole discussion, I'm not going to get into this. The main point of the Gemara is, we have three and a half, really four, different sources for why hasra is required. And each of them brings a little bit of a different dimension to Hasra. Okay, each of them brings a little bit of a different dimension to Hasra. Now, we have, what do we have, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, 10 minutes. Let's try to get through as much of the Minchas Chinuch as we can. It's kind of required reading. Should we get to it next time? I'll just pick out one part of the Minchas Chinuch. It's going to be hard to locate because it's all one. You'll notice what I did is like I usually do when I have a Minchas Chinuch is I put all the Rashi Tevos that I'm aware of in brackets afterwards. The Minchas Chinuch is famous for being pretty much most unreadable because he just puts everything in short form and Rashi Tevos. The reason for that is, Richard Erkin used to say, because he had no money. So to print a Sefer, you can get away. If everything's Rashi Tevos, you only need to print one volume instead of two. You're saving money, really. A legitimate reason why he had it. A shorter form. The other reason is that he indicates in his own hakdama that this was actually just his personal notes that he wasn't really ever thinking to print, but he lost something. Something was stolen from him, and he never got it back. So that's also a reason. But it's almost unreasonable at some points. But I want you to jump down to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th line, or even the fifth line. Ach lichora, the fifth line of the Minchas Chinuch. Ach lichora. Ach lichora. Bishabes kuf lamin ches. Everyone see it again. It's the fifth line down towards the end of the line. Ach lechora after the period. Ach lechora. Bishabes kuf lamin ches mevor. He says, if you look in Shabbos kuf lamin ches, and he's paraphrasing a little bit, but it says, shomer, this refers to the shmarim in wine. Okay, this refers to the sediment in wine. Shumar mishum mai masrinan be. We have an identical Gemara. What do we warn him for? Okay, here he has Reish Aleph, which presumably would be Rabbi Lazar, but we actually have Rabba there. Says mishum borer, Rabbi Zera Omer mishum mirakid. Okay, and he starts building the discussion of whether or not you would need to warn someone with the correct malacha, or simply just to tell them, as he brought above from Rashi, just tell him you are about to violate los asek malacha. Meaning, there's an iser los asek malacha on Shabbos. The simple pshat in Rashi that he brings at the beginning, Rashi Shavuos Tafchaf, is you simply need to warn using the pasuk of the lav. What is the pasuk of the lav? Lo sasek malacha. So you go over to someone, see they're about to do an iser dorais on Shabbos. You tell them, we us to aid him, we're telling you, don't do it. Lo sasek malacha. The Torah says don't do this. No! Okay? You are amazed if you're doing this. Don't say it. You can't no longer say, I didn't know that this was prohibited. Why? We're telling you. And here is the pasuk. The question is on Shabbos now. Putting aside the question of chiluk malachos, havara, and these things. Would there be any indication that I need to tell them which malacha they're doing? Not according to Rashi and Shavuos. Says in Minchas Chinuch, we have this Gemara, which is basically identical to our, and there it says, again, there's a machlokas, whether you warn him for borer, or whether you warn him for merakid. And this seems to indicate that what? You do need to warn the specific malacha. What's going on? Now, we could spend a month on this. The specifics here of delineating, but I just want to tell you one fascinating comparison of Tosfos Rid, and we'll end with this. Jump down to the Tosfos Rid for that Gemara. Okay, Tess, and then we'll go back to Ches, and then we'll finish with Yud. Okay, and we'll have to go through the Minchas Chinuch next time. I don't think there's going to be a way around it. Tosfos Rid, Mishumai Masrinan Bey. Mishumai Masrinan Bey. Says Tosfos Rid, why is the Gemara asking what you warn this person for? Okay? L'chora, this interpretation, right, is equally relevant to our Gemara. No? It gets exact same question, it's just with a different action, two different malachas. Let's see what the Tosfos Rid says. Perush, kevan dehavar alachalek yatzasa yotzeis. Since, so we know there's a discussion, why does the Torah say, lo sivaru esh b'chom lo shivoseichem b'yom ha-shabbas, an additional pasuk? Okay, there's two possibilities, says why exactly it tells us this, but ultimately we say, havar alachalek yotzeis. Okay, says Tosfos Rid, we say Havar L'chalek Yotzeis, which tells us that there's a difference between each malacha. It differentiates between each malacha. Each malacha has its own significance, just like Havar has its own significance. Each of the 39 malachos has its own significance. Ki'ilu k'siv lav akol malacho malacha. And therefore he says, it's as if, it says a separate lo saseh zoreya, lo saseh kotzer, lo saseh choresh. It's as if it says lav akol malacho malacha dami. And therefore he says it would make each different malach on Shabbos like a different prohibition. Just like chelev and dam, it says you can't eat them. Okay, you can't eat them. You can't quote a pasuk of lo sochal kol toeva and just say, oh, I warned the guy. It says in the Torah, lo sochal kol toeva. It says don't eat anything the Torah told you not. Like, what? Okay, you can't get away with this, right? Shem chalukin zemizeh. V'tzarech la'asros ala chelev mishum chelev v'ala dam mishum dam. And for sure, you'd need to warn a person eating chalev. The Torah says, don't eat chalev. And you need to warn the person eating dam. The Torah says, don't eat dam. So too, says Tosfos Rid, right? V'kach al kol malacha malacha. So too, when it comes to malachos, you need to warn them. This would be an explanation of how Rashi can square with these Gemaras, right? Rashi said you only need to warn with the pasuk that's related to that. But Rashi wasn't talking necessarily just about Shabbos. It could be that Rashi would acknowledge, okay, this is B'derech Efshar, and this is really what Tosfos Rid is coming for. It could be that Rashi would acknowledge that in a Chanami, for Shabbos, since there's Chiluk Malachos because of Lo Sivaru Esh, you need to also specify which Malacha, because that's really part of the source, the Mekar, of why it's Asr Du on Shabbos. I mean, it would lead also to an absurd situation, where you need to warn separately for Havara, and all other 38 Malachos would also be a bizarre situation. So anyways, this could be one potential point for Rashi.
I can see why you have to specify, because otherwise the person could say to you, who says this is a malacha?
But that's not what he says. But you're right. I think that's an excellent point, and that's basically what he says over here. But he doesn't say that over there. Over there he says, it's a technicality within Hasra'a. Why? Because of Chiluk Malachos. Now, looking at our Gemara, source number Ches, because we've got to finish up here. Mishumai Masris Bey, Perush. Listen to what he says. What should he have said? The whole spiel that he gave us in Shabbos. What does he instead say? Perushim lo todianum le'ezem alacha dome. If you don't tell him which one it's like, mamish your point, Ela ata omer al ta'aseh she osem malacha b'shabes chayev skila. If you just tell him, don't do it, because if you do malacha b'shabes chayev skila, yomar belibo, the guy will say in his heart, ain zo malacha, this is not a real malacha. Why? Sherei kol malacha shnuyos hein. All malachos are taught properly. V'ein zu achas mehen. This is not any of them. You couldn't even go ahead and specify which malacha it is. This can't be aser. Hilkach atzatzarach lo dienu shetol de malacha plonisi. Therefore, you need to tell him that it's specifically this malacha. This is almost a stira in Tosfos Rit. It's as close as you could come to a stira. In Shabbos, why does he tell you you have to warn of the malacha? Because of chiluk malachos, lo sevaru esh. In Moed Katan, what we're dealing with over here, he's got an easy, easy answer. He comes up the whole thing. The guy is going to come up with an excuse and say, if you didn't tell me which specific malacha was, it must not be real. And the guy has an out, so to say. What's going on? So the key to understanding the sugya, ironically enough, is looking at which malachos are involved. Which malachos are involved in our Gemara?
Choresh.
Very good. Choresh and Zoreya. Which malachas are relevant in that Gemara? I know we only read it quickly.
Which Gemara?
Borer and Merakid. What's very significant? Take a look at the Rambam to see the real point here.
What's Merakid?
Merakid literally means to dance, yeah. Right? We're hearing over here. What it means is when you shake something back and forth in a sifter, okay? So you're being Merakid. It's a
making
form.
It move or separate.
It's a form of
types.
Separation. It's a form of separation, and that's precisely
it's
the
like
point.
A hold of
no, it's a different av malacha which has the same purpose, and that's the critical difference between that gemara and this gemara.
It's not dancing on the grapes.
No, take a look at the Rambam. Take a look at how the Rambam paskins in that machlokas. Usually, the Rambam tends to give us halacha lemais of what we should do. Right? Look at this Rambam, and then we're going to look next time if we get to it at the Rambam and Arso again, see how even more problems he makes us. Hazora or abora ki gregeres chayev. If you do zora or borer, so you're already starting off with two malachas in one, zora and borer. Okay, same idea. Vamechabetz already told us borer mechabetz is a told of borer. We're not going to get into this. V'chena borer shmarim mitoch hamashkin. If you separate shmarim from okay again is the stuff at the bottom of wine. Harei ze told us borer o told us merakid v'chayev. Best way to paskin? It's either this one or this one. You ever seen that before? The Rambam bring l'halacha? It's either this answer or this answer. It's either this opinion or that opinion. But yet he does it over here. Why? You see in a lot of different sources, and I didn't necessarily bring them all, because I didn't have one that said it as slap in the face like the Rambam paskin like both is, they're the same darn thing. Now, therefore, if I warn the guy, don't do borer, and he's doing really technically merakid, is the chashash of Tosfos Rit on our Gemara at all relevant? No. Because Borer and Merakid are separating. They're both the same thing. So there's no way that he would say you couldn't identify which Malacha. I identified which Malacha. I identified which Malacha. Masha'ein ke. So that chashash of our Gemara that Tosfos Rit brings over here of the guy having an out, there's no out. Whether you say Borer, whether you say Merakid, you've identified it for the person and it's logical. It makes sense. The guy will say, oh yeah, you're right, I am separating now. Right? However, when you're coming to tell the guy between Choresh and Zoreya, although there is some shared elements, they are, at the end of the day, two pretty distinct malachos. So in such a case, to get it wrong, or to say none of them, the guy will say, eh, and he'll throw it away and he will have an out. That's why. The reason why Tosfos Rit says this in Shabbos is not because that's the reason for all cases. It's simply in Shabbos, the only reason why you would have to specify the malacha is because they have different names. And that's the whole idea of chiluk malachos. But over here, by us, you need to specify the malacha, because otherwise the guy, you won't do a proper hasra. You won't be warned properly. There's a lot more where we can go. I really don't want to take people very much over time, especially when it's my fault for starting late. But anyways, to be continued, I think we'll have to continue this again. Maybe it'll be 2 weeks, the full kashas according to all of the different svaras on the Gemara. But we'll call it over here. Shkoyach.